We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I was wondering what you were going to use for this hour's code word. Excellent choice.
Thank you.
Although, if I remember correctly, there's a rap song that samples the Office theme. You remember that?
I think I do.
I think we played it years ago. Time for your chance to win $1,000. 560 WQAM $1,000 touchdown contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word office. It's the Office theme. Such a great television show. Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's a great show.
Meh.
Text the word office to 72881 and you are registered. Text office to 72881. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at 6 o'clock. It is Fight Night with Alex Dono and Frank Zaffrey. And they've got, obviously, the McGregor-Khabib fight to talk about. So they've got a lot of content, if you will.
With damn McGregor.
560 WQAM's $1,000 Touchdown Contest brought to you by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Text the word OFFICE to 72881. 5 o'clock hour, as you know. If it's not the best hour already...
It's Funky Buddha.
Funky Buddha Brewery Happy Hour. Channing loves him some Funky Buddha Brew.
Oh, man. I'm going to enjoy tonight.
What's the new one for the hockey season?
Gloves off.
Gloves off.
And the first time I'm going to taste it is tomorrow night after the game, 6:01.
Very excited.
It's straight down from underneath us, 2 minutes away.
Oh, it's right next to Pantherland, right?
Yeah, we're right on top of Panther's Land, so right down the stairs, and I'm going to have me a gloves off right then.
Let us go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline and talk to Ira Winderman, who covers the NBA and the Miami Heat for the Sun Sentinel. Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ira Winderman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. Hello, Ira.
To answer your question before you ask, no, I have never before ever seen anything like this ever.
I mean, this is pretty amazing what's transpiring today with Jimmy Butler. We've been reading nonstop on the air the Adrian Wojnarowski tweets of what's going on at Minnesota's practice. So what do you make of all this?
This is the confounding part to me, is how Jimmy Butler can call out everyone for saying, and you said I wasn't good enough, I'm your best player, when he wants out of there anyway. And there still was a chance of him getting the maximum salary he wanted if he played differently. But to return now and sort of with his vitriol, just the way he handled it, number one, the way the Timberwolves handled it, number two, and this is not going to end well. This is a lot like Carmelo Anthony with the Nuggets when he forced his deal to New York and then the Knicks couldn't get supporting players for him. It's just an ugly touch from a team that shows you utter incompetence in the front office. Why in the first place say, yes, we will try to meet his demands for a trade if you knew there was any chance it could turn out like this instead? I mean, it just shows you that there is a degree of incompetence there that will never go away. The Timberwolves have made them a laughingstock, and Jimmy Butler was more than happy to be the one to point it out to everyone today in their practice.
And Ira, the longer this, I don't even know if you call it a negotiation, whatever this situation is, the longer it goes on, does that become more advantageous to the buyers or the sellers who would be Minnesota?
Oh, Minnesota's screwed. Minnesota is totally screwed. And that's what happened to this whole thing, Channing, is a GM like Scott Layden or a coach like Tom Thibodeau doesn't want to look like they're getting pennies on the dollar. But when you say you're selling something and that you're taking offers and that you are going to trade it, it immediately reduces the value. It's like driving a car off the lot, unless it's one of those fabulous Buicks, in which case you know you're going to lose a certain value along the way. That's what happened right now when it came to how the Timberwolves were going to handle it. They totally messed up this situation. They're going to get maybe 80 cents on the dollar instead of 50 cents on the dollar, but they're not going to get the full value of what they thought when it came to what a player like Jimmy Butler is worth.
But you've read the accounts of Adrian Wojnarowski at practice today and what transpired?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm referring to.
But isn't that, like, can't you take that as this? Now, here's what Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted about 15 minutes ago.
Sure.
A lot of Minnesota players left Timberwolves practice today energized by Butler's performance, mesmerized with him taking end-of-bench players and running the table on the regular, sources said. At the end, he marched out like a mic drop. Butler delivered a tour de force. Like, couldn't you make that as,
no,
hey, we're better with this dude? Like,
no,
let's mend fences and let's go and compete this season.
I'll tell you why, Hawk. The moment that it was announced that Jimmy Butler would be traded, Karl-Anthony Towns signed his nearly $200 million extension. Clearly didn't want to play with him. So you could energize all the bench guys you want. Remember, NBA teams are carrying 20 players right now. You could energize players 4 through 20. Wow, what a man. We're going to be great with him. But if you're leading men, even if you made a mistake choosing your leading men, and Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins are told he wouldn't be here, it doesn't energize a darn thing. I mean, wow, he energized players 5 through 20. So what? This was all about them telling Karl-Anthony Towns, we are giving you the keys to the franchise. And now it's like them coming back. You could say it's a mic drop. I'm saying it's a keys drop. And Jimmy Butler's saying, nah, I could still own this team. Could you imagine how Karl-Anthony Towns feels right now? Even, and I'm not a biggest supporter of his game, even how an Andrew Wiggins feels right now. So again, if you're making a decision by Minnesota, fine, we're trading Jimmy Butler, we're going to get young talent, maybe a Winslow, maybe a Richardson, maybe Adebayo from the Heat, and we're going to build around other guys, and then this guy shows back up, which is it? To me, and again, it's not the same level, it's almost going to create a Shaq kind of Kobe deal. I'm not saying it's that level of player, but it's two guys who were told this is your team, and the Lakers eventually had to pick one and trade one. That's where this stood all along. Energizing players 5 through 20, who gives a rat's butt about that?
But Ira, there's no way to, like, sit them down. Like you're saying, I know there was promises made, but sit the guys down and say, hey, things have changed. We need y'all three to play together. Tighten up.
Yeah, I don't think so. When one guy still doesn't want to be there, when one guy's still going to be a free agent next summer, when one guy is not going to get the – I mean, can you – Channing, let me ask you this. You can go through the whole act and charade, and Jimmy Butler can come in and be a good citizen and run all the plays and show up and play every day, so then you get to July 1, okay? We're fast-forwarding to July 1. You now can give Jimmy Butler – I don't remember what it was, like $240 million. Let me ask you this. How these last 3 weeks played out, no matter what follows – would you feel comfortable as the Timberwolves giving Jimmy Butler that kind of money?
No, I wouldn't give him another dime.
So why go through the next 9 months of that when you know what the end game is and what Jimmy Butler knows what the end game is? It works this way. The team that you belong to after your final regular season game is the only team that can give you the larger contract, probably about $50, $60 million more than anyone. What Jimmy Butler wanted with his bird rights is to go to a place where they can give him the money and where he wants to be. So this isn't going away. I'll ask you another question, Channing, because you are a guy who was in the game. You're Jimmy Butler, end of the game. Coach Thibodeau calls up a play where you have the ball, you fake like you're going to shoot, and you throw the ball into Karl-Anthony Towns. Do you actually do that?
No, and if I do, Carl better throw that damn ball back out when I get open because I'm Jimmy Butler.
I think Crowder's lying here.
No.
And yes, absolutely. You're a professional athlete. You're going to try to. When you're out there, you're not going to embarrass yourself, and you're not going to. You know, they freezed out Michael what in the All-Star game? But
you know,
I mean, like,
it's the question with when Dwayne Wade comes back, and we ask this year who's going to be to take the last shot.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade is going to take the last shot. Jimmy Butler thinks he's Dwayne Wade.
Yeah,
well, Jimmy Butler is the closest to Dwayne Wade, prime Dwayne Wade on that team. He should.
Yeah, this is such a different situation because basketball is such an individual sport, and guys wave off coaches all the time in this league. And when it works, everyone's happy. And when it doesn't, you have a crisis. I mean, Minnesota has to decide what they're going to be. Do they believe with a toxic Jimmy Butler and Wiggins with Towns, they're going to win the West? I mean, guys, let's do the best-case scenario, okay? Jimmy Butler, everyone's singing Kumbaya. Weed is legal up there in parts of Minnesota. They all go to the dispensary. They get real mellow before the start of the season. Are they beating out the Warriors? Are
Heck
they beating
no.
out the Rockets?
No.
Are they even beating out LeBron James in a playoff series? Are they beating Russell Westbrook and Paul George? In other words, this is not the Timberwolves' time either. So why not get assets for when it might be their time? Kevin Durant, there's talk already that he's going to leave the Warriors. Maybe Golden State a year from now won't be the same team. Maybe the Carmelo, Chris Paul, and James Harden thing implodes and it's not the same thing. Maybe Russell Westbrook says, hey, I made a mistake. I want to go play with LeBron. Trade me or get me out of here. The Timberwolves' time is in the future. So we're not just talking about Jimmy Butler making nice for one season. We're talking about, do you really think long-term he can wind up there? And I don't see that happening.
Well, but maybe the Heat end up, like, what's the offer right now? Josh Richardson and a protected first-rounder?
Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, or protected first-round pick is the one that's been printed and thrown out there as the possibility between Mark Stein and the New York Times, Adrian Wojnarowski, The Vertical. That's sort of been sort of, this is the working best proposal that at least brings the two teams to the table, and then they can work out cap space and things like that.
But if you're the Heat, maybe you back off on that now, because what's the point of going out and getting Jimmy Butler right now when the asking price should be lower, giving up a first-round pick even if it's protected, and a young guy like Josh Richardson? Like, maybe you just wait it out.
Well, that's why I posted that story today at SunSentinel.com, and I spoke to Chris Webber and Reggie Miller, and I asked them flat out, would you trade Josh Richardson in this deal? Would you do the deal we just made? They both said no. They both said because this isn't the Heat's time either, because the Heat needs players to grow with, because with the way the Celtics look right now and even the Raptors and the Sixers, it's not like Chris Webber said, is that going to get you 7 more wins, let's say? So where does that put you in the East anyway? Does it make you a contender for another 7 years? So there's a lot to think about. Here's the other thing. Jimmy Butler had major differences with two coaching staffs in Chicago. He's had major differences, clearly, with ownership and management and teammates right now in Minnesota. Channing, doesn't that reach a point where a player, maybe other players, view as being a little bit toxic?
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch, especially I think in basketball it's bigger, because like you're saying, it's only 5 guys. Like, if one guy's mad, he can mess up a game plan.
Yeah, and this reminds me also almost of Ndamukong Suh the previous few years, how he broke off the team game plan and he was freelancing, and all of a sudden the other teams were running like crazy against him, and he always held himself as if he was a private contractor on loan to the Dolphins, and it really worked out rather poorly. And say what you want, but at least the Dolphins got out from under that. I think that's something you have to consider also. So in other words, there is very little leverage from the Timberwolves. I think Jimmy Butler is not in a very good personal selling point right now either. So yeah, I think you could back up your offers, but you know what? Tom Thibodeau wants to win, and he only wants to win because he's a live-in-the-moment kind of guy. So he might say, hey, I'll be miserable until the February trading deadline. If I'm also in fourth place in the West, and then we deal Jimmy Butler, I'll be in a lot better shape to at least make the playoffs. If you deal Jimmy Butler now, probably not going to make the playoffs. So I think there's that element there also, where Tibbs only lives in the moment.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. You can read his work at the Sun Sentinel or Ira Heatbeat on Twitter. We're up against a break. So quickly, Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves and the Heat, what do you think comes of it?
I still think they talk. I still think both teams want to get an agreement. The Heat know they need a leading man to attract their next leading man in free agency. It's a matter of the Timberwolves back off. I do not think today was a positive revelation at all for Jimmy Butler, for the Timberwolves, for Tom Thibodeau, for Scott Layden. I think this is exactly what Jimmy Butler wanted to know. And he's going on SportsCenter, apparently, and ESPN later. I want to see what that interview is going to be like. This is when people realize you can go to the media and use us to your advantage. So I think today is just the first day of it getting uglier and uglier and uglier in Minnesota.
If the Heat give up Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, and a protected first-round draft pick, did they give up too much?
I believe so, but I also believe that Pat Riley knows far more about the NBA than I do, and Pat Riley also in his office might have a list of players where he says to himself, you know what? If we get Jimmy Butler, I think we can also get this player. So what I have to find out now, who is mystery player X, who's the second guy that he believes he can pair with Jimmy Butler? That might be the ultimate endgame of all of this. We might have our answer in 2 years.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Thank you, Ira.
Hey, the players are walking by on the way to the locker room, so hoping to talk too loud. Thanks,
look
guys.
Look at you, getting it done from the American Airlines Arena.
2 years.
I can't wait 2 years.
This.
I can't wait what? 2 years. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us next. He is bubbling and on fire today. I can tell from my texts with him. Aronde Gadsden, we are going to talk Dolphins with one of our favorite guests in the next segment. Aronde Gadsden is joining us here. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but Aronde Gadsden is a Super Bowl champion. I think with your Cowboys, Falero.
I believe so.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
He is a Super Bowl champion. Do people know that about you, OG?
Not really. That's correct. That's correct, though.
It was with the Cowboys, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Do you still have the Super Bowl ring?
Of course.
I don't know. You never know.
Sell
maybe,
it?
Maybe times were tough. I don't know.
Come on, man.
I got little peoples, man. So little peoples need to see it. You know, you bring it out every once in a while to inspire the team, get them together.
So what? Where do you keep that? Where do you keep your Super Bowl ring?
In a shoebox under the bed.
I don't believe
him. Tell the criminals that, I don't believe it. I don't know where it is.
I don't believe it's in a shoebox under the bed.
I'm telling you. You know, with all the important information.
He didn't invest in a safe, OG.
In a shoebox under the bed.
We've been working this long with that shoebox, so we're going to roll with it.
has the Dolphins season, and I know it's only what? Five games? What are they? Are they 3-2?
3-2.
They're 3-2. Five games. Has it gone off the rails? Or is this, hey, don't overreact to a couple of bad games?
Well, I mean, you have to react. Overreact is, you know, probably violent at this point. But, you know, the reaction is, you know, I guess is warranted, you know, because of the injuries. And, you know, you hate to keep making excuses about every year, but I mean, it's true. I mean, you can't really, you know, get any cohesion when, you know, half the old line is hurt and everybody gets hurt. That's the part of the game, you know.
And OG, what's going on with the offense, man? Because I can look at a defense and tell you they're trying to make up for something, so they're doing this, but then that's not advantageous to them trying to make up for a hole. Like, what's going on with the offense in your eyes?
Well, that's the same thing. I don't want to keep on making excuses for the offense. You know, everybody, the first thing, you can go to anybody, you can take 27 people and poll them, and the first thing they're going to say is, what about Tannehill? It's what year is this for him? Seven, eight. I mean, we giving him $100 million, so he's supposed to be the guy, you know. And this guy, the coach, Gase, was supposed to be the quarterback whisperer. We supposed to, you know, we show flashes of it, but it's just not there all the time. But I think right now, I think since the 3-game winning streak, I think it is the O-line not being, you know, cohesive. I mean, you can't get a running game started because the O-line not blocking. Then, you know, when they know we in passing situation, they blitz, you know. So I don't know what else you want them to do. But, I mean, the first 3 games, it looked like it was going to work.
Aronde Gadsden, former Dolphins receiver, is with us, Super Bowl champion. As a receiver, now, again, you played with Dan Marino, so I'm not asking you to compare. But you've seen enough of Ryan Tannehill. We just said 6 or 7 seasons. You don't even have to tell me what your opinion is. Do you personally have a definitive take on what Ryan Tannehill is after this many seasons?
He's Ryan Tannehill.
And what is that? What is that?
Quarterback for the Dolphins.
You know what? I got a good question for him, Hawk. OG, what was that, 98, 99, 2000? I don't know, OG was balling. Would 1999 Aronde Gadsden want to, if he was a free agent, would he want to come to Miami and play for Tannehill?
Play with Tannehill? Yeah. I mean, I would, because, you know, and as, you know, being a player, you think you're that missing link. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm the guy. Okay, you know, and I looked at it the same thing. We'd say, you know, in my mind, I'd say, all right, you know, they got Tony Martin. He's going to go deep. Dan's going to throw the ball to OJ 97.6% of the time. And so the other 1%, I think I can help them. You know what I mean? And you think that's your niche. You know, then like 2 years ago, I'm saying you brought in Kenny Stills. Okay, he became the deep threat. You had Landry. He was the, you know, we would say the O.J. McDuffie at the time. If Stills was the, you know, Tony Martin, and O.J. was Landry, then I would be, you know, Devontae Parker, you know. A little bit better, but Devontae Parker nonetheless.
I mean, you were out on the field, OG.
And that counts. That counts. But, yeah, if you think of it like that, if we get the decent running games, I think our problem was, you know, and not, you know, hey, I love the guy ran, but we had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, so that was a little different.
Yeah, that was a little bit different. Rondé Gadsden is with us. So now on Sunday, you've got the Bears. You have a banged up offensive line. You've got Khalil Mack and the Bears. I mean, what can they do?
They're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to get away from Khalil Mack, first of all.
Run! Run! Everybody run! On three, everybody run!
to the other side. To the other side. If he's on the wide side, we run into the boundary. If he's on the boundary, run into the wide side. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Now, how we get there, maybe. Like, you know, because the running back will have to help chip on Khalil Mack. So that's one less dude out in the route. But I do think we can do some things. The intermediate passes ought to be there. It's just, you know, you know, the game is all about matchups. You know, sometimes you get a good matchup. I said, you know, a few times ago, the fun bunch is what we got. You know, we got a bunch of little guys and Kenny Stills, you know, Kenny Stills in the band. And sometimes the matchups work, and then sometimes they don't. When we were winning, they were running the crossing routes. The linebackers couldn't stick them. And, you know, they'd run them, and they'd catch it and get open and run. But, you know, sometimes you get the bear, and sometimes, you know, the bear gets you. And right now, we hope the Bears don't get us on Sunday.
And, OG, talking about the fun bunch, as you call them, the small receivers. Well, New England kind of broke the mold or broke the code of Gase's offense when they pressed them. From you being a receiver, man, with that press, is it on the receivers to get that release, or is it in the coaches to scheme up something to get those guys open? Because when they went man-to-man, chest-to-chest press, New England did, the Dolphins receivers couldn't do nothing, OG.
Well, obviously, you know, they're not going to get any taller before Sunday. I mean, it's going to have to be, you know, somebody has to hold the line. So, you know, that's, you know, you have to, you know, and like I say, it's a piggyback, it's a copycat league. You may have to do the same thing New England did. You know, they had smaller receivers with Amendola and Edelman at the time, and you put Gronk on the line where those two guys would get off the line. Of course, if you press a little dude, he's not going to get off if you get his hands on him, but if you put him off the line and run him in motion, then he could get a freer release, you know? And so that's what I'm saying. If you got Albert Wilson outside and he holding the line, man, you got a press corner. You know, I'm gonna take the bet on the corner. But if you put Gesicki on the line and those two guys off the line, and you motion them or, you know, run them stack behind picks, then they get off free release. So we have to do something like that because I'm not too certain that they just gonna beat the jam all the time. So that's gonna be a little scheming and game planning to do that. You know, hopefully we can get that done. But you know, just, you know, being a receiver, you want to pass all the time, but at some point you're going to have to get that running game started with Drake and Gore. So, I don't know how to do that exactly, but I can help you pass the ball.
Rondé Gadsden, former Dolphins receiver, is with us. Let me get to the important stuff here. Crowder told us yesterday.
Let me ask you a question. Who does the montage? They're so great.
Oh, Valero.
Oh, geez,
Valero.
Dog.
Have you,
oh,
man,
thank you.
It,
have,
it,
have you heard any of this stuff that Valero did?
Man,
do you know
the king just now?
Do you know that Crowder has a phlegm problem? Like, this is strange for a broadcaster.
Like in his throat?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
No, it gets, man.
He doesn't know that his throat is getting all mucusy, and so it surprises him every time.
Oh, gee, I have a deviated septum, man.
It has nothing to do with that. It has
nothing
to do with that.
My nostrils, they catch items.
It has nothing to do with that.
Oh, man.
Listen to what Falero made, because Crowder sounds a little bit like Satchmo sometimes.
And some of those. Whoa.
You all right?
My goodness, I almost died.
Hey, yo, Ace.
Light skin one day.
I see trees of green.
Hey, John, we always...
Red roses, too.
And... whoa.
I see them blue. Whoa.
And with Wade leaving... Excuse me.
Man,
he can't go back.
And I think to myself...
Series of... Excuse me.
Man, he can't go back.
I have this...
What a wonderful world.
And some of those...
Whoa. Disgusting. Constantly clearing his throat, he says, excuse me. It's not a great look for a broadcaster, is it?
I'm polite.
He got a Kirkland septum on there.
He's got a Kirkland septum. This dude's deviated septum is from Kirkland.
Man, that's a medical issue, man. I'm going to call, who is that, Sissa?
They blitz his set. Like, he doesn't know it's coming. They're free from the weak side.
Man, that's a thing.
He's shocked every time.
They are blitzing my septum. That's exactly what.
Every time they run past him. Whoa. Crowder.
No grounding.
Crowder told us yesterday, Aronde, that black people never have sour cream or cottage cheese in their fridge.
Consistently, though, OG. You can get it if you're making tacos, but just on a regular Wednesday,
a big old box of cottage cheese. In the Hockman house, you will never find a day that there's no cottage cheese or sour cream in the fridge.
Oh, in the Gaston house. So if I got sour cream or cottage cheese, you'd lift that lid off. It's green. It's all outdoors.
OG, what the hell are you going to do with some cottage cheese?
After Taco Tuesday, we're not having it next week again. So it's going to be in there for next.
I'm with OG. The only time a black household is on Taco Tuesday.
All right. Okay.
Cottage cheese was bought by a mistake. I meant to get sour cream, but I got cottage cheese.
Baby.
I don't know nobody that went and just got cottage cheese of African American descent.
Hey, baby, why this damn sour cream so chunky? What's going on? Hawk, I told you, man. Ain't nobody eating that crap.
All right, he backed you up on that one. All right, he backed you up on that one. How's your...
I agree with him on that.
Hey, OG, how y'all doing, man? American Heritage, your team.
We hanging in there, man. We got a big one this week. We got Cardinal Gibbons. This our big game of the year right here. But we fighting. We 6-1, and we fighting. We don't have a stellar record like you guys have.
Yeah.
But we fighting.
I want to let you know, OG, just, 6-0, right there. Man, averaging 52 points a game, giving up 7 on defense. OG, so we doing our thing over there.
Y'all lighting it up, man. At this point, y'all winning. Y'all a dynamic duo. You got Sam and JT at St. Thomas. They got one loss. Me and Pat over here, we got one loss. But you and Harris over there, you school, y'all undefeated, man. Y'all a dynamic duo, man. Y'all two live crew over there.
And that damn Aunt Harris, he is a one live crew. He don't need nobody else.
He don't need no help.
I always got to get a little coaching advice, so I need a little help. What is the margin of victory when you stop blitzing? Because I never stop blitzing. I tell the coach to blitz. I don't care if it's 70-0.
You know what the margin is when the athletic director comes down on the field and says, "Have you put everybody in the game?"
Oh, gee. When we put in the backup players, I want to blitz more. Hey, we need some help. We need some scheme. Send the house. Engage 8.
They're going to give up that one-on-one on the backside, trust me.
And then, OG, after a play last Friday, I'm talking about OG, I'm already talking to my Mike linebacker. After the whole play, third down, we off the field, they throw a 15-yard penalty, and one of my players, they get a 15-yarder, they slap the boy in the back of his head. And we're hot with them. They continued to drive. They got down in the red zone. We end up stopping them, but we were hot. I went up to him, OG, and this is, I'm not good at this. I went up to him. Right. I said, "Man, what happened, bro? What's going on?" Coach, he's all into his feelings. I said, "Man, what's going on?" He said he had sex with my mother. I didn't know what to say. OG, you know my thing. Okay, go sit down. Go sit down. Just take it easy. Go sit. What do I say in that situation?
You know, sometimes those players get flustered because they haven't heard that those things before said, especially not in their household. So sometimes, every once in a while, you have to take two or three of those players and take a trip down to Carroll City or Opa-locka and let them play a little basketball.
Or bring them over. Bring them over to the Hockman house. I'll fix up some cottage cheese for everybody. I'll make a little bowl for everybody. And I'll tell them that sometimes what you hear doesn't always mean what you mean.
Right. You're right.
Ain't nobody going to your house. OG, he had a 15-year-old big old black guy at his house. And one of his son's friends gave him a bowl of Kraft macaroni and cheese for dinner.
Yeah, it was fine. He loved it.
Yeah, we need some meat. The one you can microwave if you like.
That's not nice. That's not nice.
Well, he loved it. Loved it. Time of his life.
Man, he was so hungry.
That's not nice. But did you take him to Damon Buster to play him in Papa Shop?
You know I school everybody. I school everybody in Papa Shop.
There he goes.
He's pretty good at that. Seems like he had one in this house growing up.
I'm pretty good at that. You hear that?
Pretty good at that.
You want to ask Crowder, though, his 6-0 record, how many teams were followed by the name Academy?
There y'all go. Every time somebody starts getting successful.
Listen, Hawk. When you look on every week, they bring out the predictions for the week, and I've said this before. When you are predicted to win by more than 50 points every game, then this is what happens. Shannon, can you tell Hawk when y'all play this week?
Hey, man, they moved us up to primetime Thursday night.
That's what happened.
You know who you school. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but you school tomorrow plays Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
They don't even put their games on Friday anymore. They just play them on Thursday.
I thought it was like Thursday night football in the league. No, like they had to take the teams everybody wanted to watch.
No. That's a team. It's backwards in high school. That's a team nobody wanted to watch. Who gonna waste their time Friday night coming? Y'all winning 72-6. Nobody got time for that, man.
See ya, OG. Love talking to you.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Aronde Gadsden,
man,
former Dolphins receiver.
Everybody's on me today.
He's funny, man. All right, quick break. We went long with OG. Radio.com. In the last segment there, Aronde Gadsden was fantastic. These are some of the texts that are coming in. You guys should interview OG every week. Bring back OG. Hilarious. Love that dude. You got to get him on more often. And then there's this guy. Your cackling is so fake during those interviews.
I'll smack his mouth.
Both of you guys sound like laughing hyenas. This is from one guy. Whose cackling sounds more phony?
They know I be. You know I be.
I don't understand the person who gets annoyed at someone else's laughter. I find that to be the most fascinating trait of a person.
A miserable person.
You're laughing. No way that you're actually having fun. There's no way, because I'm not, because I'm miserable. I'm a miserable SOB.
That's why.
So they go out of their way to go, you're fake laughing. I don't fake laugh. I laugh when I'm with OG, if I'm out having lunch or dinner with him, and I laugh with him when he's on fire on the radio, which he was. So
that man is funny.
Take that cackling wherever you want to take it. So Jimmy Butler's going to have a sit-down interview on ESPN. This is just a portion of it, I'm guessing.
Like an excerpt.
Okay, an excerpt from the interview. He sat down after the Timberwolves practice today. And who's this with? Rachel Nichols? All right, let's hear.
I'm just going to read a little bit of Adrian Wojnarowski's report on what happened there, that you were loud, emotional, passionate, we like to say, targeting Coach Tom Thibodeau, teammates like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, that you told GM Scott Layton, quote, "You effing need me." How would you describe what happened today?
A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest. Me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines.
And I was going to say, is it not the right way for it to come out? Do you think it was the wrong thing to do? Or was it an okay thing to do?
I think that I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I love the game, and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing was competing, playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
Interested to see that entire interview tonight on ESPN.
Damn lie.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.